Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for this hour of fellowship, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He's our rock and our help, our refuge and our hiding place. To whom shall we compare unto the Lord? Lord, we render all thanks to you for what you are to us. You are God, and we are the creations of your hand. And we thank you because you are true and faithful. We can depend on you, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for all you are to us. Say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always watch your back. Thank you, Father. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, praise team. God bless you all. Sorry, I didn't tell the church that we are taking a short vacation last week. The pastors does know this morning that I got to know, so we just took a little time off. Thank God we are back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory for his goodness to us. We are going to continue with our series on conflict and resolution. It's an important topic, and it's an area that we need to know more. As I stated in part one and part two, I have no time today to do a summary of part one or part two. So please, if you are listening, go and into our website, Gospel Mission International Church, or gmichurch.org, and check out part one and part two so that you can familiarize yourself with this part three, and by God's will, part four. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Or you can go to your YouTube, you see Pastor Emmanuel Oba. There are some of my sermons that I Pastor Emmanuel Oba. .com, and it will come up in your YouTube. Not all my messages are there, but some are there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So this is Pastor Emmanuel Oba from Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to be speaking this morning on conflict and resolution, part three. Today is specifically designed to receiving advice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Receiving advice. Amen. Some of us may say, well, receiving advice, yeah. And along the way, you will see why we need to speak about this. Advice are a critical part of life. However, if you look closely, you see that kingdoms has been built based on advice. Kingdoms has been destroyed based on advice. Marriages has been elevated or blessed at times through good advice. And some marriages has come down crashing because one or two of the partners has received bad advice and taken it in. Family has been destroyed or built up. Friendship, close friendship, for the same reason. Churches has been thrown apart, discord, Satan, because somebody took in this advice and decided to work on it. So the quality of advice, amen? Everybody say with me, the quality of advice you receive into your life may affect you or even generations to come. The quality of advice you receive into your life can go on and affect positively or negatively, reflect on you and on generations to come. We will see today how some advice has affected some people. In fact, we can take a whole week just in the Bible alone about the quality of advice people have received and how it's affected them. Now, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar the king a very good, solid advice and said, just so that maybe, just maybe, there may be lengthening of your tranquility. In other words, many of us sought advice for different things, for the peace, for your tranquility, for whatever. He said, if you will take this my good counsel, it's just possible that God will lengthen your tranquility. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wise people value advice. Wise people value advice. Let's quickly turn our Bible to a couple of places this morning we'll be using to speak. Sorry, the screen is not on this morning. Psalm 37, Proverbs 37, 12, 15. Proverbs 12, 15. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth or listeneth to unto counsel is wise. If you listen to good counsel and you implement it, you are counted as a wise person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read our second verse of today from Kings. That will be the first King 12, 13 to 14. Listen to this, but we're going to go in detail right along. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him, and spoke to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. The result of it is that he lost a kingdom. Because the people says, in verse 16, so when all Israel saw that the king did not listen unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion do we have in David? Neither have we any inheritance in the son of Jesse. So your things, O Israel. I still remember that quote. Now, a Bible study in high school. I think I passed it. The answer was, to your things, O Israel. And I still remember it till today. That means things don't scatter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every man to his own house. Take care of your own. I'm going my own way. That happens also in marriage. That also happened between man and wife that started in a loving way.
That also happens in children, relationship, friends. Because the king did what? Did not listen to the wise counsel that was given to him and choose my dearest friend advice. And choose your friend opinion, which is one-sided or given for different reasons. We're going to come to that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Multitude of advice. The Bible also advised us, if possible, to listen to multitude of advice. In other words, if possible, get a second opinion. After your mama have advised you, finish. Maybe go to somebody else that is not going to be one-sided. After your man friend, or let's say it is a man, and you go to your buddies and they say, oh yeah, this is the way to go, you might go to get some couple of other opinions on that issue. Maybe go to the other side. Go to the other end and listen and say, what can I do about this issue? Wise men sought advice. David, the king of Israel, put such great emphasis on advice that when his own son decided to separate his head from his crown, that's Absalom, he was running away for his life. And one of his advisors, who he said that his counsel is like that of an angel, Ahithophel. When Ahithophel did come to his son, he was afraid of the counsel of Ahithophel more than he was of the army that was coming after him. So he has to ask one of his praying cushion. I want you to go to my son Absalom and become a spy, a double agent. One thing you have to do for me is whatever any advice Ahithophel gives my son David, whatever it is, if he say go left, tell my son to go right. If he say go up, go down. That is the length, depth of fear he has on the counsel of Ahithophel to be so right that if it was carried out, every time I make some statement, the lady will make a negative or different kind of comment that I know it wasn't coming from her. And when I say, why are you making these statements? Who are you talking to other than to me on this advice? You say, I'm getting multiple advice. Say, from who? One of my friends. I'm going to teach on this in a few minutes. I said, what's the name of your friends? He told me, I don't know this lady. But one day I was in a party, I was invited on occasion, and there was this lady who was there, and she was dancing. I mean, she was doing this kind of dance that, my God, I never seen. She was throwing all her assets left and right, front and back, just doing gymnastics or whatever, to the point that one older gentleman come and took her by the ear, dragged her out of the hall. I said to the lady, who is that? He said, he gave me the name. That is the name of the lady that is counseling the person I'm counseling. And the reason is because she's trying to get a divorce and trying to walk her way out of it. So I asked the lady, who is that? He said, oh, that person. That's who dragged her out. He said, the uncle dragged her out at the right time. Thank God, this is becoming a disgrace. I said, what is going on? He said, it's divorce from the husband. And so, the husband is the one sitting over there, pointing to a corner. And so, all these dance and things she's doing, disgracing herself in public, was to show off or whatever that she's happy or whatever she's looking. And that is the person my the lady I'm counseling was going for advice. That doesn't go well. A wise person seeks advice, but there is method to getting good advice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, why should we receive advice? Why should we receive advice? Among many reasons, I'm going to give us three. Because this message is such that we won't have time to cover it in depth, I'm going to go through some of these bullet points pretty quick. I want you to pay attention. I know that this may not be for you. This may be for somebody else. But just listen, and maybe you can use it to help others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the reasons you have to get advice is because you don't know it all. When you come to a Christian or anybody that say, I am too old now to know it all, there is a problem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? You don't know it all, there is always somebody that is wiser or better or knowledgeable in one angle more than you. It may be issue of finance problem in the family. It may be issue of whatever it may be that somebody else knows better than you. One time I was having a challenge with one of my sons. And I never expected that in all my life. Well-behaved, well-organized, well-ordered child. And he made a mistake that will be harmful to him. And I was very surprised. And I keep praying, I keep looking for advice, I just don't know who to go to. At times, when you give orders, it's your turn, you don't know where to turn to. I said, who can give me advice regarding my son? I met a couple of people, pastors and something, and they gave me their opinion. But I felt I need more, but I don't know where to. As I was thinking about it, stressing about it, I walked into Best Buy. And I said, you know what? I was thinking, I said, I have not gotten any young person advice like his age. Oh my God, do I know any Caucasian white person or black person this age that can give me advice? Don't. So as I was talking, a young man was walking by me, a white boy. I said, excuse me. Say, yeah. I said, please, can I ask you for advice? He looked at me from head to toe and said, what the heck is the matter with this guy? I said, I just need your opinion on something. If you can give me a few minutes of your time. Say, okay. I told him I have a problem with my son. I told him the problem I'm having. It's about your age. I want your opinion, honest opinion. He said, okay. What opinion? I said, I just told you about my son. He said, what is about your son do you want to? I said, this is what he's doing. And he said, yeah, he was in the same situation with his dad. I said, huh? He said, yes. I said, what did you expect your dad to do about this? He gave me an answer that is completely opposite from what any other person has said. In one word or one sentence or one phrase. I was surprised. I said, if your dad had done this the other way, what would you have done? He told me exactly what he did when the dad did what I was saying and how it turned out. So what's your advice? He told me, follow this, do this this way, call your son, tell him this, ask him this, and see what he will say. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A stranger in the midst of nowhere. I'm a pastor. Probably 2-3 times older than him. But I did go to him for advice. So many times Christians who are overbearing or who think they are too wise, they don't seek any advice. And so they hurt people around them. Their husband is being hurt and they feel they are spiritual, they are doing okay, and things are not well, but they never ask anybody their opinion. They reserve it only themselves between them and God. Their husband is suffocating. They don't go to people, neutral and other people, to say what and be open about it. So I say that wise people seek counsel. And one of the reasons why we should receive advice is that we don't know it all. Another reason is that every one of us have a blind spot. Blind spot. You know what is blind spot when you are driving? Another car is overtaking you, and you make a left turn and merge into that person because you say, my God, I just looked. You looked, But the time that that car was coming is a blind time, a reference of maybe 0.10 seconds that you cannot see him. Our blind spot may be ourselves. Our blind spot may be area we think we know. Our blind spot may be over something we feel we are confident we are in control about. But it may take another person to see what you could not see. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It may take another person to figure out what you could not figure out. It may take a neutral person to say, Emmanuel, that might not be the way to go about it. And I say, well, I've been doing it for years. I think I'm okay with it. It may be okay with you, but it's not okay with the other spouse. So another person who is sincere might see what you are not able to see, what you are not able to feel, what you're able not able to conceive, but they see it. So that is another reason why we should seek advice, every one of us. No matter how much ability or revelation you think you have, you may have a blind spot. And at times, that blind spot may be up here that will take somebody taller than you to see it from the top of your head. Or it may be down here that it may take somebody way shorter below you to see what you could not see. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are also limited in our competency. Every one of us feel we are competent in one way or the other. Until you meet your match and you find out that, well, I'm not all that. You see, people are competent in different ways. But they are not always like that. I respect the medical tradition. Where at times you see a primary care physician, you go to, and they look at your diagnosis and say, this one is a little above my head. And they call another person who is a specialist, who has put in 16 years in school, or 20 years in school, but they have the humility enough to say, let me get another opinion. And the specialist that was called, if the case still had, they will call another person and say, what is your viewpoint in this? But at times, many of us in our ignorance say, I've been in the Lord for 40 years. I've been in the Lord for 30 years. I have counseled others. I know it all. Therefore, I don't need anybody's opinion. And you don't know that you have blind spot. And you don't know that you have competency issue in some area that others may help you to figure out. Now, I'm not discouraging anybody from seeking the Lord. We are coming to that part. At the end of the day, it has to be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it is good, the Bible says, that seeking advice is wise. And them that does not hearken are fools. Now, who do you ask for advice? Who do you ask for advice? Many of us doesn't know where to go for advice. At times, like in my case, I stumbled on and God directed me to go to you. That's great. But at times, you may have to think through certain characteristics, qualities of whom you are asking for advice. The best advice may not be from your pastor in some cases. It may not be from your husband or your wife in some cases. It may not be from your best friend. It may be from some, but there has to be a minimum criteria, quality you need to see in the person you are asking for advice. Amen? One of those is godly character. Not necessarily a Christian. Before somebody jump up and leave the child, I say not necessarily a Christian or even a born-again Christian. The best advice you may have received or could have received that can change and lengthen your tranquility might be from somebody who is not a Christian. Moses was anointed beyond measure. He speaks to God like me and you haven't even come close to by any means. And he kept doing certain things wrong all the time. He was running himself down. He was burning himself out. He was burning the whole Israel out. Meanwhile, he talks to God every day. God speaks to him face to face every day. And God comes to him like no man before him or after him. But he took a heathen, a priest of the media, a heathen, a barbaric unbeliever to put him right. One day he was watching him. Every day Moses will come and stand, and thousands or hundreds of people will come from morning till night. At the end of the day, maybe get two to three or four. Say, what are you doing? Well, these people come to me for advice. I hear from God and tell them what to do. He say, are you the only man of God? Are you the only person wise? Are you the only person anointed? Which is what many of us think of our. I am the only one. No, you are not. He said, no. Choose from them. Appoint people that will do 1,000, 500, 100, 50, even to 10. So this case will go through stages. If they could not solve it, they move higher. If they could not solve it, they move higher. They could not solve it, they move higher. Until you only get the case that nobody is able to resolve. In that way, you don't keep these people standing all day, and you yourself standing all day, and you are going to die before your time, and my daughter will come back home. This is Jethro, the father-in-law. You are burning yourself out here. You are killing yourself. Say Moses listened and did what? Implemented this advice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He listened and did what? He implemented it. Some of us will say, who are you? Unbeliever coming to tell me something. Get out of here. Lord, rebuke you. Some of us will look at it and say, who are you to talk to me, a great person of this character or quality? But he took an unbelieving heathen, a priest, to advise the anointed Moses on an area of his life that he has a blind spot. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's not necessarily somebody who is old or aged that will give you great advice. Job and his friends were making noise all day. And Elihu was sitting by and listening to them. At the time, he said, I thought that days will speak and years impact wisdom. But no, that is not the case. Wisdom doesn't necessarily come from gray hair or number of your years. It is an inspiration of the Almighty. And he corrected his old, he told them, look, I am young, he said, and you guys are very old. He actually put very there. You are Methuselah, for listening to me. And he put them right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, another person you should go to consider before listening, somebody that keep their own counsel. Telling me not to smoke and you are smoking right before me. That doesn't look right. So in other words, anybody that could not keep the counsel, or you see in their character, like that young lady I told, that lady I spoke about, she's giving counsel, she's already divorced. If she's even giving that counsel based on, okay, here is where I made a mistake. This is what I've learned from my mistake. It may be different. But no, she was pushing the other one to destruction, because misery does what? Seeks company. I made a mistake, follow me to make. I'm falling, follow me to go there. I want company to my group of divorced partners. So come and join me. And that is supposed to be my best friend. That's not your friend, best friend. That is your worst enemy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do not go to gossipers for counseling. When somebody starts to advise you or counsel you and they start saying, you know what? Pastor Emmanuel Oba came to me for counseling the other day. He was supposed to be a man of God, though. But that man, he don't know what he's doing. He now told you everything that have come to impact to him in private. Just tell him, God bless you, bro. I'm going to come back for another advice, maybe another day. Don't go to gossipers for advice. Amen? Amen? Not trying to put anybody down, but something happened to me one time. I have to take $2,000 and present to that person. I gave the person counsel, and he says, you went and spread what I said to other people. I said, no, I didn't. I will never do that. He got to a point, I called one of our pastors, and the person called his own sister. And we sat down and said, if you can point to anybody that I spoke to about this issue, here is $2,000 with public apology. Name it. Blessed be the name of God. Because I will not do that. It is between me and you. Not even between me and your wife. If I want my wife to be partner in it, I'll call her from beginning and say, my wife has to be this in this council, or we are not going to have it. But if I do it between me and you, then it's between me and you. That's something you told me because you have told me certain things that I have to respect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you are dear friends, start talking about other people and you go tell them what is going on with you. Give it 1 week or 2 weeks. The same thing, she will do it to you. It or that she will do to yours. So don't go to people who are gossipers for counseling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Don't go to people who will tell you what they want, what you want to hear. Now listen, don't go to people who will only tell you what you want to hear. You came to them to tell them, they don't look objectively what you are saying and advise you based on the truth or justice. They are telling you, you came for pity party. Somebody that will pat your back and agree with you. Now, some of those people can become very dangerous. They can create what we call emotional dependency. And I saw many women fall into it. That work body at school, at work, I'm having a problem with my husband. I go telling him, this is what is happening. Oh, man, your husband is something else. He has no understanding. He has no this and that. He starts painting a picture of what you want to hear, not telling you if there's any part you are doing wrong to take correction or whatever. And before you know it, you become emotionally dependent on such person. And you keep going back. And I've seen that even develop to the point before you know it, they start having kind of relationship. Because you are no more going for an advice. You are going for somebody who will kind of help you, support you, be there for you, and hear whatever he wants to say because he's saying what you want to. Come to advise some people, they say, well, it doesn't look like you're on my side. I said, I was never on your side in the beginning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am on the side of the truth and the justice and the law. What I'm going to tell you is based on what I believe to be the truth. That you're a man doesn't mean I have to be on you. Because I told this person, your wife is a better manager of the money in this family. You are practically useless as far as managing money is concerned. And I've listened to both of you. I gave reasons why you are unqualified to manage the family money. Say, what kind of man will not be in charge of money of the family? The man that doesn't know how to manage money. And your wife is better manager of the money. Let her manage it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you might be better in some. I know some men here will probably call. Don't call me after church because I'll tell you the same thing. Telling me that we will manage by money. If your wife is better because he keeps buying things the family does not need. He keeps spending money like there's no tomorrow. Once he comes, his next idea is how do we spend it? Now the other one is trying to save, trying to invest, trying to implement only what is needed. And you tell me because he's a man, I should tell him to manage the money. No, you are not qualified. So it has to be what you can do and do correctly to the glory of God and for the benefit of the family. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's also the other way around. So some of this is part of the things you have to learn. Some people that are set in their way or not well ordered will go against this. But I'm saying it as the Lord will. If God put two of you together, the two has become one. There's always an area you are not that competent. Let the other partner that is more competent do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Before implementing any advice, there are certain things you have to. Now we've spoken why we should receive advice, who to ask for advice. Now we are saying implementing advice. You must count the cost and think of the consequences of advice you are about to implement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to count the cost and think of the consequences. Many of us, after we hear advice, and I'm going to rule everything here, about four of them, one of them at the end will be you have to table everything before God. But for now, let's just say, you have to count the consequences and the cost of advice you are going to hear, the cost and effect, action and reaction, the sowing and reaping of part of it, because these things have a way of coming up. Advice is good. Multitude of advice may be good. You have to look through them, present it before you. But there is consequences to implementing advices. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Abraham got a good advice from the wife. Honey, yes, I don't have a child. Why don't you take this other woman, my servant, go into her and conceive a child and give to her? That looks like a selfless kind of something. Actually good. But I didn't think through of some of the things that will happen. And so Ishmael came. And then he said, kick him out. I don't want him again. Because since we had that, my servant had, they start looking down on me. They kick Ishmael and the mother out. Do you know that till today, me and you are still suffering the consequences of that action? That's why I say that the quality and the tranquility that you may enjoy, not just you and generations to come, may be dependent on the quality of advice you receive into your life and implement it. Abraham did this, and the consequences is being felt till today. Ishmael is at war against every man, and every man is at war against, and that is bound to endure. Rehoboam did not think of the consequences of the advice. Rehoboam is son of Solomon. Solomon is son of David. And when Solomon passed, his son inherited the kingdom. During the time of David, he's a man of war. Israel were drafted into war constantly. Their children, father and grandchildren were going to war all the time. And he passed. Solomon was no man of war, but he started building and expanding Israel. His building, construction and stuff means he has to go and take people from every tribe for this construction project and things he has to do. People are tired and weary. They actually respected him and sent a delegation to say, please, it is too much. Give us some break. Reduce this taxation of duties and stuff. He listened to the advice. He called for the advice. And the elders that were with his father said, hearken to the people. Treat them well. And they will be bound to you forever. And after that, he decided, multitude of counsel, let me get another one. He called his bosom friends. And said, you know what? Deal with them harshly. If your father has given them one slap, tell them you are going to get 10. And so what happened? The nation separated. So that is the consequence of advice that you misplaced. Nebuchadnezzar received a similar good advice, a singular good advice from Daniel. Say, King, cover your sins with righteousness and your iniquity by doing good. Let these things change so that the days of your tranquility might be lengthened. And he did not listen. And what happened is that he went through hell for 7 years. And after he'd been all through that, he now come to realize that God rules in the affairs of sons of men. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Reject any advice that does not guarantee peace. Any advice that the outcome will be vengeance. You know what I'm telling you? You do it like that, you will see me. You know, Roy, if you go with this my advice, your husband or your wife will see the other side. You don't go sleep better. That advice is not based on God's word or justice. The purpose of advice is that somebody does not have peace. And you are looking for counselors of peace. That's what advisors are called. And that advice has to be guided by God in such to bring you peace. Not to bring vengeance, not to bring destruction, not to bring bitterness and rancor more into it. So if anybody is advising you or saying things to you or guiding you, and all they are trying to do is to push you into vengeance instead of justice, reject that person. Reject that advice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. At the end of the day, I want you to know that you have to commit, before making final decision, you have to commit every advice you have received before the Lord. You may say to me, why didn't you just commit it in the beginning? I didn't say don't commit it in the beginning. But I still say seek advice. Because there are certain practical, even me, when I received some revelation and God has shown me things, I woke up scratching my head, what is this? How can it be? And at times the way it will come to pass is completely the way, opposite to the way I envisioned or thought it. So when you commit things to God, that is great. You must always commit your ways before the Lord. But if you sought advice along the way, you didn't get clarification, and you sought advice, you must also present it to God at the end of the day. Say, Lord, I've approached Pastor Emmanuel, approached my friend John, approached my dear mother, and so on and so forth. They've told me all these things. Now, it is you, Lord, that will direct my footsteps. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did say that the stage of the righteous man is ordered by the Lord. So you go to him for final conclusion. Let God now guide you. You may need discernment at this point. You may ask him for discernment on what to pick out of this multitude of advice. You may ask him, give me discernment to decide on what is the right course. Because I know that there is cause and effect. There is sowing and reaping. And any decision I will make over this situation can have ripple effect for generations to come. It can mean an end of my peace completely. So, Lord, I really need you to step in. I've done diligent duty. I've reached out to people. I've sought the guidance of people according to thy word. Now give me guidance on how to make this final decision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And God in his favor will guide you. And because you have humbled yourself, and before you have laid down, you show that you can actually go to others for something, not thinking too highly of yourself, God will guide you. And even if you take wrong steps, at this point, because you have humbled yourself, you have shown yourself capable of doing the right thing, the Lord God will intervene along the way and make it right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So after having said it all, go before God. And finally, when you have gone to God, make it your own decision. Why am I saying that? Make it your own decision. Own it. Nobody put a gun on your head to make that decision. Oh my, you told me to go marry him. Why did you go marry him? For God's sake, that put a gun on your head to go marry him. Look at what the person you told me to go and marry, how it turned out to be. Well, that is my opinion, based on what I'm seeing, based on good intention. But you have to make that final decision and own it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If it goes bad, it's on your head. If it goes good, it's on your head. Some people have a way of owning it when it is good, but when it is bad, they come calling you and say, is that not what you said that I did? Don't do what I said if you don't feel like. It's up to you. Your decision should it be. God does not force you to make any decision. He will not stamp on you to make any decision. Neither will I. But I'll give you my advice based on you have to own it. One young man said, the preaching of that man made me not to go to university. I said, did he put a gun on your head when he said, I could have been a doctor by now. And I said, well, you are not, because you are not serious. He said, they say, what is it that he said? He said, the preaching in those days said that the Lord is coming soon. I said, for real? Said, yeah. So they told you the Lord is coming soon in those days, and you decided not to go to school. Yep. The Lord is coming soon today. I'm telling you that also. And he was very bitter, very angry. That if you see the way they told us in those days, it looked like the Lord was about to come. So I didn't go to school. And look at where I am. So the point I'm making is that you have to make this decision and own it. Don't come to say, it is because of what they say that made me do it. Somebody gave you an opinion. A counselor of peace is giving you an opinion. End result is your hand to decide what to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet, everyone. We're going to read Psalm 37, 23-24. We quoted it before. We say, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord watches over his word to perform it. When you do the right thing, the Lord will uphold you. At times you may find out that you try your best to do the right thing and wind up making mistakes or doing what seems to be the wrong thing. At times you do all these things and then you make that decision, and at the point of when you make that decision, the enemy will come and start saying, "Whoo, you just blew it, did wrong," and start presenting you with you. My advice to you is do due diligence. Seek good advice. Make every effort. And once you have attained to that level, leave it in God's hand. You've done all you can. We don't have eyes at the back of our head to see the past. Even the one you are seeing, you can't see the future other than now, this moment. And we live at a world where there are so many things going on in the TV, in the this thing. I've seen people, I'm not kidding you, people who took such big advice, make such momentous decision from Oprah. What they call this daytime TV shows, you know, the ones, series one, you know, kind of, not Oprah, I'm not talking of Oprah. I'm talking of just, you know, the normal TV stuff and so on. And they are taking marriage advice from somebody who have divorced 6 times. Yeah. And he's so emotional, he's so nice, so romantic. Why didn't he apply that romantic on any of his 6 wives? Has to marry 6 to figure out all this. God say, when you have sought and made every effort, put it in God's hand. Your friends may come to tell you, girl, I tried to marry, I fasted to marry that girl. Did everything. He rejected me. And then many years after that, when things are brightening up to me, her advice to me was good advice. You go feed yourself first. Get something, at least something before you look for a wife. I followed her advice and God turned it out for good. And then she turned around and blamed me later on, said I didn't make very good effort. Hey, what do you mean? You want me to kill myself before you figure out that I made good effort? First aid, I prayed, I did all this. Then no, didn't follow my advice. Say, go turn yourself around, then come back. By the time I finish turning myself around, I find somebody better than me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My wonderful wife. So that was a good advice. I took it and implemented it. But by then, I'm elevated. I'm moving up. I didn't go back to that level again. So the point, brethren, is advice is important. I've seen many marriages, many families turn apart by wrong advice. Have to seriously consider what your girlfriends are telling you. What your main body friends are telling you. Consider it and look at it whether they are telling you things that cause glory or your good. Consider it before you implement it. Many people just take whatever they are dished out and implement it in their family, their own destruction. I've seen people who advise others. You cannot stay faithful to one woman. Haven't you heard that men are dying to be polygamous? And they give you so much reasons why you should. I've seen people who advise their friends. You know what you need to do to get your husband to this thing? Lock him out of the bedroom. Don't him let him get anything. Let him go dry for some time and then his senses will come back. Different kind of things, friends, we tell you. Look at the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Consider the cause and effect. One person locked the husband out for too long and he strayed away from there. Didn't help the situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Cannot even handle one wife, how much more two? Somebody is telling you to go that route. People tell you the best way to deal with it is to be harsh and deal with it in such a way, render injustice, vengeance. So consider the advice and let the Lord guide you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because your word is. We thank you because we are looking unto you for help. Every day we make decisions, one thing or the other, asking for your help. Is there anybody among us at this point that is seeking advice? We ask that you direct that person to the right person in Jesus' name. mighty name. You see, the steps of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. Order your daughter, order your son's steps are right in Jesus' precious name. If anybody is there out watching or will watch this message and listen to it, Father, and they are at a junction in their life, they don't know where to turn to, and they are looking for guidance, Lord, we pray the same prayer for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And for all of us, including myself here, we have decisions to make. Let us always remember that there's cause and effect. There's reactions, actions and reactions. In every action we have, there's sowing and reaping. So let us not sow anything that will come back and bite us or our offspring in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let us not sow anything that we will leave to regret, O Lord, and say, if I had known. Guide us, Lord, that our actions and the reaction shall be to your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Receive the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.